Welcome to AltSource Podcast. This week we've got a great show for you. We've got tons of people in the studio today, and I am your host, Griff, as usual here. Griffin, as Mike wants me to say, or Keys wants me to say. And let's go around the horn, everybody introducing themselves. Hopefully Mike Gartner will get back in time to get his name in.
If not, I'll do his introduction.
And Jamie, go first when it comes to you. I mean,
okay.
Hotness, go first when it comes to you.
Well, wait, right now?
No. You. I guess you don't know what position you're in.
That's true.
I know what position you're in. All right, I'm just going
to... Okay, Matt.
Okay, I'll go first. Yes. Matt here, so second time in a row.
This is Keys, back after a long trip away from due to school and
social activities commitments
with the girlfriend and other such events.
I've heard of those.
Yes.
With Griff's mom?
And with Griff's mom.
That usually doesn't interfere with the podcast.
She's quite a handful in the bedroom. Anyway.
Glad my parents don't listen to this.
You done?
Next.
Phil's here. Matt didn't wake me up last time, so now I'm here from my nap.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Jamie here, waiting for Battlestar to come on later.
Oh, yeah. So you got to wrap up by 8, right? Or 9?
Yeah, by 9. But that leaves a lot of time, so.
Okay.
That's a long time.
We've got a new member to the podcast and to the blog.
Axel, that's you.
Oh, hey, I'm Axel. Yeah, no, I thought you were going to like say my name or something. Hey, I'm Axel. I am disembodied voice number 3 coming over Skype. I want to thank you guys for Jeff is number 2. Okay. You're number 1.
Jeff may pop in later, apparently, or according to you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a girlfriend.
I was going to say it's good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Hey, wow. You're welcome.
Oh, we had honored guests.
Yeah. And Mike Gartner's here. He should be joining us in a moment. I think, last week, everything was really good. There's nothing that I can think off the top of my head that needs to be corrected that we said. So we're not going to do anything really out of the ordinary again. It's going to be just another what has everybody been playing, since we've got a lot of people and a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of catching up to do, and I, again, didn't plan like I should have. Stop, that's weirding me out. So why don't we start with Axel just telling you a little bit about yourself, where you're located, what sort of games you like to play. I think Jeff and Jamie talked about their first video game experiences when they were on last episode.
Okay. I'm from northern New Jersey. I go to school down by the Jersey Shore, a little school called Monmouth University. I'm a business major down there. But, I wasn't always that boring. Out of high school, I went to Manhattan School of Music in Manhattan, and I was a tenor voice major there, training to be an opera singer, but gave that up, so now I'm in business school. Anyway, my first gaming experience really was with the Sega Genesis, when my parents bought me a Genesis, like, right when it came out when I was a kid, and I didn't know anything about games at the time. I didn't really, I didn't really play games before that. They got me Sonic 2, and, I mean, immediately I was hooked. I knew I loved to play games. But I actually think, this is kind of a controversial opinion, my favorite game for the Sega Genesis was not any of the Sonics, but it was Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, that is not controversial at all.
No, it's not.
Because Sonic sucks.
No?
No, I would not say. I mean, Gunstar is a fantastic game.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, I actually went and I played it like 2 months ago, just, I blew the dust off my Genesis and played it again. It was still pretty fun.
Nice.
But as for my gaming tastes now, like, I'm basically a mechanics whore. Like, I'm into anything that has, like, really awesome, whether it be, like, fighting mechanics or driving mechanics or in the case of Mirror's Edge, like, running and jumping mechanics, whatever it is. If, like, I get a really good sense of feedback through the controller and through the, what I'm seeing and the sound and stuff, I'm pretty much going to be enjoying myself with that game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and that takes me into all sort of genres like shooters and racing games and certain RPGs and, obviously action games as well.
You said Mirror's Edge. Can you, as a good example, can you say something that struck you that's been a bad example of mechanics? I know you and I talked about Bioshock, but is there something else, too, that you could throw in there?
Yeah, sure. I think Mass Effect mechanics really, really kind of suffered. They tried to do something with the game that it really wasn't designed to do. And even though I love Mass Effect and I think it's a great RPG, the shooting mechanics just sort of became repetitive and boring because you sort of fell back on the same couple moves over and over again. Same thing with Fable 2. It was just basic bare bones combat, not a whole lot of depth. And you didn't really get a whole lot of feedback, you know, through the screen of the controller. You know, it didn't feel like in something like a Condemned 2 where you feel the weight of that, you know, the punches behind, you know, your characters and stuff like that.
So I've heard that's a really good thing, a really predominant point about Condemned.
Yeah, I don't gush about Condemned 2 like a lot of people who played it. I think that the mechanics can sometimes they click and you really feel like you're in a fist fight, and other times they're kind of, you know, floaty and slow and indirect. But I think some of the time that game really gets it right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. We'll go into what you've been playing now, because that reminds me, that makes me want to talk about Killzone 2. But we can start out with Phil talking about what he has been playing.
Oh, I get to start today?
Of course you get to start today.
Ooh, I'm so excited. What I've been playing today, Halo Wars, probably one of my most impressed. I was surprised to see for an RPG, or not an RPG, but a RTS on the console. I thought it was actually very well done. Troop selection is very easily done too, which I was surprised, which I think has been the big issues.
The like, paint function, you like that?
The paint function is nice, but then I also found out that if you press a button within the paint function and you have like a bunch, you can select individual groups.
Mm.
And then you can use the special feature or their special attack, whatever it may be, like throw grenades with the infantry or with the warthogs, run the units down, and then the tanks have like this sweet explosive shell. Graphics, they're pretty good. What else about it?
Sorry, can I just stop you for a second?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
What is the paint function?
What you do is you hold down like the A button, and then like it's like a big circle icon or cursor kind of thing. Oh, sorry. I don't know. Did you hear that or not?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Don't look at the computer.
Sorry, it's like a bad habit to look at the computer.
I know, man. Just
it's like, hello?
Focus on the disinfecting lights.
Okay, all right.
They're so yellow.
Yeah, the cursor icon just gets bigger as you hold down A longer, and then you like swipe over what units you want to select.
Yeah.
And then within that...
Oh, so it's like click and drag.
Instead of like a box lasso, like in StarCraft or something you're used to, it's just like a...
It's like a
paintbrush function.
Yeah, it's a paintbrush
like Microsoft
function.
Paint.
Yeah.
Right. Can you do? I was a big StarCraft player, and I was always interested to see how people try to adapt RTS to the console, because I don't think you have enough buttons to do it. But I'm always interested to see how close people can get when they try.
That's what I was thinking too, because especially like when you have multiple fronts and then you can like make essentially keys to go to those different ones quickly in between. Like, how would you do that on a console? You'd have to like scroll the map, and like that's like wasted time.
Well, I think that. Do you want to? I haven't
discovered if there's like a shortcut button to like hop to bases or not, because I was just playing the scrimmage to see how it was, and the thing that I was really impressed was the computer's ability to change strategies. Like when I was playing on heroic mode, like I played like six or seven times, and they would have different strategies every time. They would either quick attack me, they'd try to out research me, or they do this like in between kind of. Sort of defensive, sort of
like
aggressive.
Slow push,
yeah, kind of a slow aggressive kind of attack. And
that's what she said.
The only thing I can really handle is when they try to do a technology race, because I can just the way I have my research set up, or not my research, but my supplies coming in, you know, I can out research them faster.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of other stuff to the game, but like you get a base. And all your buildings are within this base.
Yeah, this is sort of a unique feature to
it's very
the Halo
different.
Wars.
Yeah, it's very different than other RTSs where you can put your buildings wherever you choose. They're all around your main like area.
Yeah, you get like an 8-peg slot that you get to put certain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to be selective because you have to have a certain number of power plants to do certain research, and then you have to keep enough supply pads to keep enough resources coming in. Mm-hmm. And there are little other places that you can go and capture to get resources, but there's like one or two on a map, so that is not really a dependable.
This resource. Was on just the trial map. Though. This, I mean, this yeah, could be totally different.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a ton on the like 8-player maps, the 6, you know, however big it gets.
Or the campaign could have totally different things too.
Yeah, I played a little bit of the campaign. It was okay. I mean, it's kind of like go rescue these people; they'll join your party. Go rescue more, kind of like every RTS. You know,
so when beginning. It comes down to it, would you buy it?
I plan on buying it, actually. I'm excited because this is like one of the only RTS that I've really seen anything for. I mean, and you know,
as of late,
and I do like the Halo kind of the characters and the, you know, the tanks and all that. Yeah, all that fun stuff. So
yeah. Mr. Chief.
That kind of makes me sad. One of the things that was great about playing a game like StarCraft is like strategic building placement, especially if you played Terran, you could do a quick wall in so your opponent couldn't scout you, and like doing that kind of thing and like placing buildings strategically was like a huge part of the
I think it just needs to be trimmed down just a little bit for it to work really effectively on a console.
Yeah, I agree with what Chris
said. And that's what I think, that maybe because of the controller setup, console RTS is inherently limited.
Yeah, it probably is, unless you can. I mean, I think this is an interesting step in a new direction for RTS, well, in a slightly new direction, but I mean, you're going to have to like reinvent the wheel if you want to make an RTS that works totally different on a console, obviously.
Well, I mean, we saw with like, and I don't know if any of you guys have played Supreme Commander, like, which totally flopped for the console, but was it was a very good PC game, but when they tried to take it to the console, it was just too much. So,
DC'd.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. And you've been playing. You played a little Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
We'll probably have like a round table of that once we get through everybody.
Yeah.
Since we've all been playing.
A little bit of Street Fighter 4.
And we'll save WoW for once everybody goes through too.
Okay.
Jamie, are you still there?
Call duration. It ended.
Okay. Who do we have next? Mike Keys.
All right, I've been back for. I haven't been on since before break. Was I on the last podcast? I can't even remember.
You have not been on any of season 2.
I know that, but
No, I mean, well, yeah.
And
Season 2.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought. So I've been busy. Obviously, I've been playing lots of WoW, especially over break and stuff like that. But we'll. I think we're going to get into that later. I did play quite a bit of Prince of Persia, and I had a lot of fun with it at first, getting into it and watching my guy platform. And then it's just, it had the same syndrome for me that Assassin's Creed did, where I was just doing the same thing over and over again, and the only thing I got satisfaction out of was, like, doing the cool moves and, like, doing the platforming and things like that. And, like, the storyline was just...
Not interesting.
Not interesting. Skip through it. And even the combat itself was a joke for the most part. At first I thought, once you actually get the handle of it, it's a joke. It's not fun. The only fun thing to do is to run around in the game, and that can only entertain you for so long without any objective or real goal that is really driving you. What else have I been playing? I played Street Fighter 4 and got a massive blister from it.
We'll talk about that.
I'm a button smasher, kind of. I still play the occasional Team 4 2 on the PlayStation, and I've had fun doing that. And it's actually... has finally been a change. Like PlayStation, for PlayStation, a lot of players on the Team Fort usually just play 2-Fort and Dust Bowl, but they're actually like branching out to other maps now.
So like,
it's like revolutionary. They're doing well and Gravel Pit pretty consistently. Like I can find games for them. So I've been getting back into that because I like to play those maps.
Jeez.
And then the games I just kind of.
I really wish that they would bring the new features to it. Seeing like I've been putting up the scout updates.
Yeah. So I would really like to see it too, but it's like. You know, no programmers want to do things for the PlayStation, so it sucks. And then the games I just kind of touched on a little bit was I played Flower a little bit yesterday, and I really liked it, and I'm going to buy it. I only played one level at Griff's Place because I wanted to purchase it myself and support the makers of that, because I think it's a really cool game, really good mechanics. Me and Mike Gardner played some World at War pre-gaming for a party, and it was really fun. We didn't take it too seriously, I guess, but I had a lot of fun playing it, running around stabbing people all the time, and Mike would get mad because I kept outscoring him, even though I didn't shoot at all. And Mike's mission was basically to run around and resurrect me after I stabbed four people and then died. So
it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Maybe it was the drinking, but it was still fun. And then I got to play Gears of War 2, which, after all of its hype...
Yeah, you and I played some co-op, right?
Yeah, it pretty much sucks.
Somebody else swapped in for me.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I didn't play the first one and things like that, but I really didn't find it that entertaining. I thought my guy was too bulky, and he was in my way all the time.
I remember you saying that. Yeah, he was filling up the screen too much.
He was filling up the screen too much. I couldn't see the left half of my screen, and it kept aggravating me. I kept wishing I could go into, like...
over the shoulder game. You have to pick which shoulder to go over.
You can't switch, though,
right? You can't switch in Gears.
Well, no, but I mean, they've picked the right shoulder, obviously.
Do you mean that as a pun? Or...
No, I mean, it's an over-the-shoulder game. So you're looking over his right shoulder, so he's going to be on the left side of the screen. So yeah, it's going to be a little difficult to see. I understand that.
Well, I mean, I played Metal Gear Solid 4, and that was over the shoulder, and I didn't have a problem seeing anything.
Well, I didn't have a problem with Gears of War 2, but...
I mean, Snake's a little bit more realistically built than old Phoenix.
I don't know, maybe it's because I had never played the Gears series at all, so maybe I wasn't used to it, but it really bothered me that I couldn't, like, even adjust my camera around my character. Mm. You know what I mean? It was just like he was always there.
Yeah, you're
in
at
my
this
way.
Sort of, like, cocked two-thirds behind the back, like, kind of angled view. It is kind of strange.
So it was kind of, maybe it was, like, the strange view, but the gameplay itself was... I don't know, like any other shooting game that's out right now. I mean, different weapons and different world, but more or less.
Oh, come on.
But there's chainsaws.
Give the cover system a lot of... You have to give the cover system at least some credit.
It's the same one as that was in Grand Theft Auto 4, in my opinion.
It's a horizontal platformer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's like people are putting in a cover system, and it's nothing like completely new to games. You can, you can jump over things or hide behind them. Drake's Fortune had a cover system too, more or less in the same sense. A cover system's a cover system to me.
Drake's Fortune, though, came out after Gears of War, I think. And Gears of War, the original one, sort of made this cover system.
The first one to really do it was Kill Switch for the PS2.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, a cover system's a cover system. You can't do that much with it. You're going to be hiding behind things one way or another.
Oh, I disagree. The way you can transfer between cover that two pieces of cover that are nearby is extraordinarily easy. You can crouch behind cover and move while you're crouched. You can blind fire over the cover. You can jump over and dash. There's a lot of versatility in the cover system.
Yeah. You can also try and be running in some direction and automatically get sucked into cover because the same button that makes you run is the same button that makes you go into cover.
The thing is, people were talking
about... It's a really great feature.
How revolutionary it was, and... I don't know if Gears 2 with that cover changing and things like that, but that's nothing new. Like, yeah. I've played that with Uncharted for a fact. I know you can do that in Uncharted. You can switch between covers that are right next to each other. You can blind shoot. You can go over things. It's like...
I don't think too many people are saying that the Gears of War 2 has been revolutionary. I think people are just really excited to see the sequel is what it came down to.
I think I'm just sick
and
of
the
shooters.
And the level design.
Like... Yeah. They're shooters a shooter to me anymore. Different guns, different world, different things you're shooting, but nonetheless you're shooting things.
Here.
Who's speaking right now? Is this Phil?
No.
This is Mike Keyes.
This is Keyes.
Mike Keyes, I agree everything that Mike Keyes says.
I used to love shooters. I played Halo 2 religiously for years.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, to me, I don't find entertainment in the genre anymore.
Except for Team
Fortress. I spent 2 years, freshman and sophomore year, just playing Halo day in and day out, and I feel like now, whatever game I pick up, if it's a straight-up shooter, I'm bored with it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have to just agree to disagree about that.
Yeah, I think so. Unless something revolutionary comes out in the way of shooters, which I don't know what else people can change about
it.
They can take away your gun and give you feet.
So that it's not a shooter, or it's a...
A first-person platforming running game.
Oh.
And then shooting edge. Mechanics, but give you guns anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should
get back
into this
my
again.
Game.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing. So, mostly WoW.
Who do we have next? Matt?
Man, I got a ton of stuff. Last podcast, I failed to mention that over break, I had played Psychonauts, which, if you haven't played that, that's a Xbox PS2 platformer game. That was practically canceled, 15 different times, I think?
Yeah, by...
Majesco or something?
Oh, my God. Tim Schafer. I don't know what his publishing company or his development company is.
Yeah.
I forget.
But that was actually pretty entertaining, like the artistic style. I liked it. It was some really good humor, really creative with all the different kind of levels you could do.
Yeah. The level design, which expressed like the characters' emotions.
Yeah, you went really cool. You went to people's brains, and like the level would reflect like what they were thinking or like how they acted and everything. So each level was different, and you get different powers, and you know you can just get, it's basic platforming stuff, but it's still really fun.
Wrapped
really
around like brilliant level design. Yeah. And great writing.
Yeah, that was great. And then you guys were talking about God of War 2. But I had played that and beat it. As compared to the first one, I thought God of War 2 was easier, but I still thought it looked great. I still like, it's kind of like a beat-em-up, but I think it's a little better. It deserves a little bit more than that. But I still really liked it and everything. But yeah, that's just
what
my two
cents. What would you have given it as a grade?
As a grade? Like a B+.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, I mean, it's not the greatest thing ever, but I still think it's way above average than a lot of other games.
Yeah, I agree.
Heavenly Sword.
Oh, man.
Didn't I played a demo play of that. But,
yeah, I played the demo.
I beat it.
The real game?
I beat it in a rental, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll start our Street Fighter 4 thing later. I played that. And then still playing Far Cry 2. Haven't really advanced much further than last time on the podcast.
Have you killed the Jackal?
Nope. Well, I really don't care at this point to kill the Jackal. But, and then, that's just really about it.
All right.
So, yeah.
I played this week, with everybody else, Street Fighter 4, Flower. I bought Nobi Nobi Boy last night.
I played Flower, but
oh, how is
we'll
it?
We'll talk
how
about Flower at the end. Nobi Nobi Boy, did I tell you this, Jamie? It's like it's a trip, man. Like, it's weird. It is really weird. So the game starts out with like this like psychedelic neon flashing colored house, and this little like pixie thing is like telling you to just chill out while it's like creating a save, and you can move it around the screen, and then you actually start the quote unquote game where you're kind of dropped into this like cuboid world that has bunnies and donuts and police officers and bicycles and other houses.
Four of my favorite things.
Yes, and it has like swing sets and I don't know, just a bunch of nonsense thrown into one strange location. You start out with this like little boy. I don't even know how to describe him. He's like, there's like a little toy called like Wiggle something or another, like really child safe. Mike, you want to say something?
I was just saying, like, if you had not told me the name of this, I would have assumed you were already playing Earthbound. I don't know why that came to mind. It sounds just from your description.
Yeah, it's quirky, but it's quirky in that it's more of like an acid trip than it is like like a clever, like self-realizing video game. So you this little thing, you can control the front feet and the back feet. You control the head and the ass, and like the L2 and R2 buttons will make it either grab the ground if you hold them, or if you tap them, you'll jump. And then if you also grab with the front. And he'll eat, so you can like eat the donuts, and as you get longer, you can eat larger things, and sort of Katamari-like in that respect. But if you push the ass and the head in the opposite directions, you extend, and your body like lengthens. So I suppose what the object of the game is to get as long as you possibly can without falling off the world. But this is where the really weird shit starts to happen. So you expand your body, and then once you expand it, you can start to fly by just jumping a lot. You just like fly into these donut clouds. And as you get longer too, you can eat bigger things. So you go around like eating these things, and when you plant your ass after eating something, you poop out the thing you ate. Also, it's a finite location you're existing in, so you can fall off the edge, which I fell off one time, but I held on with my back feet and walked myself all the way back up the entire world from like death area. Another time I fell off the world, and then you just get like pooped out of the chimney of the psychedelic house, and the game plays you like a little like fanfare. Another time, the most bizarre thing happened, where my boy split in half, and his front half fell off the world, and his ass half stayed on the world. I can control both halves independently of each other, and they weren't connected. So then I ate my ass with my front half, and it traveled through my body, pooped out the other side, and then played this again, another little fanfare, and I got an achievement for it. I got a trophy for it. This is so...
It's your own ass achievement, huh? Yes.
No, okay. It continues to get weirder. So, like, you eat all these things, presumably you eat things, you get bigger and bigger. And then after a while, I like just kept flying. Like I kept jumping into the sky. And eventually I got to outer space. And then it gives you like the game menu. Yes, the game menu is by flying into outer space. At that point, you can either go back to the world, you can like look at the scoreboard, or you can deposit your boy at girl. And I remember from hearing things about this, like the object is to like feed girl or give her whatever you're giving her. And she's supposedly like the distance of the moon away from the Earth, and you need to make as like everybody who contributes to her actually brings her closer and closer to the actual Earth based on like real distance and how big you make your boy. So I contributed like 80 centimeters or something like that.
Wow. So basically you could play this for years.
I don't know, because it's like cumulative. Well, of course you can play it for years. But once I contributed him, this little squirrel with like glowing eyes popped up in the bottom of the screen, and I got a trophy for Space Squirrel. Okay. And when you go to the pause menu, it brings up the old E3 demo thing where it's a little Nobi Nobi boy like running through these like squares, and you just run through like this menu that gives you how like all the instructions. It is for $5, it's worth just like trying.
I have to try
it. Dude, well, okay, so the question of the day is it any fun?
Yes.
It's fun in that it's like you don't know. It's not fun like Katamari was fun, where you're like, this is really, really cool. Like, I really enjoy rolling things up. Has a great soundtrack. It's quirky. It's charming. It's, you know, a really, really pretty looking game despite its low graphic fidelity. But Nobi Nobi Boy is just like fun in that it's weird and different, and you don't really know what's happening, and you don't really know what to do.
Just listening to you describe it was fun, and I mean, for $5, like I'm gonna pay $5 for a beer later, so
yeah. So that up. I mean, it's not that much of an investment, and I can see definitely just like it being sort of like a game that I pull out when I have a couple, like literally a couple minutes to kill between classes, or you know, need to take my brain off something, just go, you know, do weird nonsense there, plant my ass. And
so how long were you playing for to achieve all that craziness?
All of that happened in the period of about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They also force you through this little tutorial in the beginning, which is kind of a pain in the ass because it plays this really dissonant noise whenever you don't press the right buttons. And I just wanted to run around. But, I mean, that goes by quickly. And then I set up a UK account and a Japan account for my PlayStation Network. So I downloaded the Killzone 2 demo and have been playing. I played through that, which is a really big disappointment. Nobody else here played it, right?
No.
You played the second half.
I played like the last 5 minutes of it or whatever. So.
So I was talking to a guy yesterday about this, and like, I really like the weight that your character has when you move. You have momentum. You have this sort of awkward jump, and
I need my microphone. Oh, my bad. Sorry, dude.
When you're moving, you can't stop easily like you can in like classic FPS games, and you can't like float through the air. It has really realistic weight to it. The cover system is kind of like it's good too. Like you can run up to cover, you press a button to like go into it, but you have to hold that button. If you want to look over cover, you like press a button to you just like push the analog stick in the direction you want to look over it. It has all these really brilliant parts that make it a really sound, mechanically and attractive looking game. Like it is really pretty. The AI of the enemies are really interesting. They're really dynamic. They don't just sit there and do the same stupid thing over and over again. The gunplay is really interesting. The controls are a little out of the ordinary, but you kind of pick it up quickly and it's not that bad to use. The only thing, like my biggest problem with Killzone 2 is there is something missing from that game. I would call it character. Like the game offers nothing new. It doesn't have like the grit of Gears of War, and it doesn't have like the super badass feeling of like Halo. It just doesn't have this certain something that makes like a shooter unique. It doesn't have that, so it just feels like a really pretty, like generic game I'm playing.
It's all first person, right?
Yes, it is all first person,
and it has a cover system.
It has a cover system.
That's unique, isn't it?
That's a unique mechanic.
Yeah.
But that's not a character. That the game doesn't get character from having that.
Right. No, I'm just trying to get an idea of the game in my head.
Right. It has sort of unique things to it like that, like the cover mechanic. I mean, it does. You end up feeling like you're playing Metal Gear Solid 3, where you're holding down like four different buttons to just like peek out and shoot at somebody, because you have to like, you know, utilize all these buttons to stay in cover. But other than that, like, it's just really, it left me with a really flat feeling after playing it, and I'm glad that I have no desire to buy it. I mean, that's it.
Shooter's a shooter.
Yeah. And I played Yakuza 3 from the Japanese store, and it's definitely Yakuza, and it's prettier, and it looks awesome, and I hope that they
that's so cool.
They bring it over. That's it.
Is that going to be a PS3 exclusive?
Yakuza or Killzone?
Yeah, Yakuza.
Yakuza is a PS3 exclusive, but we don't know if it'll actually get published in the U.S.
Okay. How much fire is there in that game?
Fire? Like burning?
Yes.
90%.
Yes!
Yes.
Instant purchase.
Yep. Mike Gartner?
Oh, I'm up now. I've pretty much been up to my same old bag of games. Nothing really new other than the staple of Street Fighter 4. I played Mega Man 9, but only as long as I could punish myself, which was surprisingly not that long. Little Big Planet, I'm slowly advancing. I'm kind of obsessed with collecting the pieces out of all the levels, so I really want somebody to play with.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's so many that require multiple. There's some that require like 3 and 4 yeah. people. So it's like you almost have to, it drives you to go online in a sense.
It does, but I don't know. I think the playing with random people kind of doesn't really appeal to me.
They'll steal your stickers.
Really?
Yeah, you don't get them automatically.
Well.
They can take them too.
Well, that's weak. Well, that makes me want to do that less.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's been business as normal. A lot of heavy WoW playing and
the You're end. Staring at me blankly.
I know, no I got nothing. You, I got my. I just zoned out for a second there. It was really weird.
All right.
Yeah, that was it. That was WoW.
Jamie, you want to go now?
Yeah, sure. I didn't actually get to do this last time, so I'll skim through a lot of stuff. I play Wipeout 3 or Wipeout on the PSN a lot. I forget the title.
Wipeout HD.
Yeah, Wipeout HD. There you go. It's I think it's worth $20. It's really great. If you ever played any Wipeout gamer, even like Hydro Thunder or Ridge Racer, and you like those games, this is worth picking up. And I love how you can put music on the PS3 and then listen to it in game. Still have the sound effects, and yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I've talked Mega about Man. This before. It's one I picked up. Wipeout HD.
You picked it up?
Yeah, purely under Shane Bettenhausen and Ryan O'Donnell's recommendation, because I've never played them before.
Do you like it? Do you like the way it feels?
Yeah, I do. It's hard, but I like
Have you used the six axis?
Yes, and I suck. Mike Keyes, you played it and destroyed me.
Yep.
I can't do it properly.
That's right,
but Mega Man 9 also hard, but I like it. Prince of Persia a little bit. I played more. My opinion of that game has risen. I have gotten to the point, Griffin, where I need to use Elika now in the combat, which is a
Don't
nice
use my
change
full name.
Because what?
Sorry, just keep going.
You just stick that in there pretty well.
What else? Oh, I beat MGS4, and I think that game is fantastic. I didn't get to talk about it last week, but
yeah, you and I
if
talked
you
about
it. I just want to say, everyone, including you, Axel, buy a PlayStation 3
no.
for that game.
Yes, worth it. That
Street
game
Fighter
is worth $360.
I think
it's,
so.
It really is. So, and then Street Fighter 4 and
price of the console plus the game.
Okay.
And then you have to buy a TV.
What? What was the last one?
Condemned 2. Bloodshot.
Did you play the original Condemned?
No. I never did.
Okay.
Have you got to the part where the bear attacks you yet?
No, I'm not very far in at all.
You're actually probably in the good part right now, and like in the hotel at the beginning.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, that I played Condemned 2, and that was one of my favorite parts of it.
The bear attack?
Bear attack.
No, not the bear attack.
Sold me.
The beginning part with the in the hotel. It was really fantastic.
I know nothing about the game, but if you get to fight bears, I'm there.
With your fists.
With my fists? Yep. Oh my gosh. That is brilliant. I will be there. That's awesome. I've always wanted to punch a bear.
For me, I'm just wondering why like a crutch does less damage than like a prosthetic limb or vice versa. I always pick up this random shit.
It's because
shit,
it's more technologically like, advanced. Oh wait, a crutch does more damage than a prosthetic limb?
I can't remember. Oh, whatever okay. Whatever the damage ratings are, they're strange. Like a brick does more damage than like a piece of wood with a nail on the end. I don't know. It's just strange.
Well, clearly everyone knows brick does.
Is
more
this
damage
all scaled
than a
nail. Against? Is this all scaled against how bears receive it? Because maybe the standards are different against
yeah,
bear hide.
Bears got thick skin, so, yeah. So nail with a board with in a it that ain't gonna do anything. But a brick, you hit him in the head with yeah. that. Trust me, I know a bear will go down.
They have their armor penetration. Is, you know,
and I didn't know that prosthetic limbs just wore down so quickly. Like you'll beat one person to death with the prosthetic limb, and it's just useless after that. I find something else. I didn't know that happened. So that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
All right.
Flower.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We talked about
Flower
that last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Axel, you want to go? We'll wrap this up and take a break.
Sure. I've been playing my weekly allotment of World of Warcraft. My guild is pretty much done with everything, and my gear is pretty set. So I scaled my WoW playing back to a paltry 14 hours a week. other than that, I played a lot of Ninja Gaiden coming up before the review I wrote for AltSource. And I had a real blast with that. I really didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I really kind of fell in love with that game, which is kind of a controversial opinion. A lot of people were disappointed by it. But you know, in reference to that article that I wrote for AltSource, I was also going back and playing a lot of other games, the action games specifically, that came out in 2008, games like Devil May Cry and Fable 2. So, yeah.
I wouldn't
that's
call Fable 2 an action game.
Well, it's an action RPG.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's pretty much been it.
Nice. I see you wrote that Double Fine was the company that did that's Tim Schafer's company. Thank you.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay. So, do we want to take a break now and come back and talk about Street Fighter and possibly WoW and Flower or whatever? We'll do more roundtable discussion when we get back. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
See you after the break, kids!
A game on saving a guy out of a well and not like a doctor game.
Like, okay, like, to unwell him.
Yeah, like, oh no, Mel fell in the
well
again.
The well.
To diswell him, to diswell
yeah,
him.
And then, like, there'd be, like, certain ones that'd be like, his leg's stuck, so you can't just pull him out.
Oh, it's
and
like
gotta,
a puzzle
like,
game.
You gotta take in, you gotta, like...
A trauma center.
You gotta, like, train moles to, like, dig down there and, like, unwell.
How do you, like, Pokemon moles? Or how do you train
gotta
them?
Save them all, gotta save them all. No?
I'm
I'd buy it.
Yeah, I bought it. What are you talking about?
You bought it already?
I got it reserved.
It's not even... Wait, it is out. It's out today.
I got it.
We're going to Best Buy later.
I've got two level 14 moles. Male and female. Training up in the dojo.
Oh, you're gonna like, breed them and then get super mole?
Gold
like
mole?
Like the chocobos?
Gold mole?
I think you have to start with, like, green mole or something. Mm.
It's like a green and a black mix.
And then you gotta race them to
lock
a level 1,000.
Ah, yes. What?
Hey, I'm got a power level of 9,000!
So if you haven't been able to tell, we're back from the break yet. Not yet. We're back now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of funny, so I think we'll try and keep that. So we finished up what you've been playing, and we're gonna go and talk about Street Fighter 4, since everybody has been playing that except for Axel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you guys can talk about WoW after that. And I can go start a campfire or like knit or.
You and me both.
You can only do it if you make it without matches or lighters.
Okay. Deal.
Deal.
All right.
Let's deal, man.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do this.
So everybody loves Street Fighter 4? Anybody dislike it?
My thumb does not like it because I just ripped my blister off and it hurts.
Yeah.
But I like the game. My thumb doesn't.
That's like a full straight up blister.
I think I'm going to take a picture of it and put it on the blog and be like, this is what happened to my thumb from Street Fighter because it's so fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a good plan.
Fantastically hard. Yes. I suck at fighting games.
Seth is frustrating.
Me and Griff had a very frustrating experience yesterday before we got dinner.
I was worried that somebody would claim a domestic dispute.
Yeah.
There's a lot of saucy language coming out of my apartment.
This is more from me because I get very frustrated when I can't do something in a game. Because for the most part, I feel like I'm a pretty solid video game player. And I suck at fighting games, so it's really fun for me to play Street Fighter, but at the same time, I get my ass kicked all the time, so it's really hard for me not to throw the controller at the TV.
Arcade mode is hard.
Yes. Very hard.
Really hard.
Maybe it's because we suck, I don't know.
I mean, maybe it is. The fact that there's easiest, very easy, easy, medium,
there's
hard.
One below very easy?
Yeah.
Easiest.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people, well, Matt was getting schooled at that.
Hey, so Seth is a cheap son of a bitch. What can I say? Wait,
you were playing on easiest?
Matt? Well, then I played on easy, and then I
need like a mirror.
Jeff couldn't beat the first fight on the hardest easy mode, and he got very discouraged.
Very easy or easy?
Easy,
yeah.
Just easy, yeah.
Wow.
And he didn't realize that there were modes below easy, but he called me, and he sounded like he was about to return it, and I was like, no, don't. It's really difficult,
and you'll
get better eventually.
I realized that
you do.
I had a
definitely do get better because now, like Keys and I, we were playing on you were playing on medium and I was playing on medium and we could like get about halfway through the roster.
Yeah. I beat it on easy, which I now think was might have been a fluke or I got lucky with Seth, because when me and Griff were playing it on easy at his apartment later that day, we tried Seth 30 times and could not beat him.
Yep.
And like I don't know what it is, but it's hard. But at the same time, it's like it's something I can always go back to, I think. I really like something I really enjoyed, which I did with like one of the last Street Fighters I played, which I can't remember the name, is for the PlayStation, is I really like going into the challenge modes and like doing the trials with your character, because I think that really does make you a lot better at using that character, and you can see like what combos are useful and things like that. So that's something I like to do just when I'm like sitting down and can kill some time, because it's something you can do pretty quickly. So I like that feature's back in the game a lot.
Has anybody, Jamie, you installed it to your hard drive, right?
Yeah, massive reduction in load time for the stages.
Because I was going to say, the load time is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's a pretty hefty install. I mean, they're all installs are pretty hefty. I think it's around 5 gigs, but I think it's worth it if you have the space.
I definitely am planning on doing that.
Me too.
And it does, you see it like, if someone else has done the install and you've done the install when you're fighting online, it's much faster to load too, which I was wondering, like, why would I install it if I'm going to be playing most of this online? But it seems like other people have done the install too, so.
Indestructible.
Online play.
Back in my head.
There's a lot of good players on there too, and I get rocked usually.
Let's tap.
Me too.
Let's tap.
Future tapping game.
But so I don't think I'm going to play it online anymore, because that's when I throw controllers.
Yeah, I'm definitely just going to be playing against people I know online.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get online. Like, I tried playing a couple people, and it's like,
I had to create matches.
You're using wireless connection to the internet, aren't you, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I tried finding rooms, and like, they're always full and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, you have to create a match.
That wireless
I could never get
it
on
shady.
A quick match. I would always create. I'd always go to create.
Whatever.
I do the arcade fight requests, which I like a lot.
Ah.
Yeah, those are good.
I turn
Because you're
off.
Just playing. You're just playing, and then it, like, interrupts you. And so you're never not playing. It's not like WoW, where you wait for 3 hours, and then you have 10 minutes of gameplay. Like, you're always you're always playing.
What game are you playing?
Or you have that option.
Yeah.
Did any of you guys play, like, the old, like, the 16-bit, 32-bit Street Fighters?
Yeah,
Street Fighter 2. Yeah.
I did a long time ago, but I don't really remember it. I just remember Vega always whooping me.
Sure, pretty much everybody's played Street Fighter 2 if you play video games.
I really feel like, because I remember I had played that Street Fighter, and I played one in the middle,
which had a lot of weird characters.
Probably three.
Yeah, three.
And it was kind of like, I think it was like an awkward child of Street Fighter.
HD Remix would have been like a lot of the two characters.
Yeah.
But I really like that this Street Fighter is kind of back to the basics.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's nothing real special about it or anything like that. It's just really, you know, graphics are beautiful on it.
It's got the Ultra and Super meters, though. I mean, that kind of elevates it from the old 2 setup. But I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really can't. Besides the difficulty, which I don't think necessarily a game being too hard is ever a bad thing, especially if there's difficulties that you can scale to it, you know? Yeah. I personally really can't see anything that's bad about the game on my behalf.
Yeah, I like the Griff and I talked about the way it looks cartoony.
Yeah.
You get hit, your eyes bug out, your tongue bugs out.
The expressions are
The expressions are awesome.
For a game that like graphically doesn't strive for realism and it goes for cartoons, it does such a good job with it that it just makes the experience so enjoyable.
Thing that, well, this is just a personal issue, but the Ultra and the Super for my character of choice are so, they're telegraphed very well, so everybody knows they're coming, and I have only ever hit anybody with one once after I first learned how to do it. But, I mean, that's a personal problem, so I'm sure I'll get over that.
I don't know.
I love it. Anybody considering buying an arcade stick now?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, you don't know.
No.
I can't afford to buy the game yet, so. Sorry, there was a calculating, there was a budget shortfall.
Your vehemence to arcade stick.
I think it's dumb. I think arcade stick is stupid.
I'd be interested in it because, I mean, it'd be definitely a different feel.
The prices are such BS. The Totally Rad Show guys did a review of the regular stick. They have like a budget stick, and then they have the super duper, if you're serious, you'll buy this better stick.
Mm-hmm.
And the super duper better stick is like $180.
Wow.
And they said that it didn't feel any different.
Whoa.
And they said that you're pretty much just paying for the fact that you own the super duper stick.
Does it have sweet graphics on it?
It has like this red, like really intricate, you know, plastic, you know, sticker on it, basically. Awesome. And I bet it costs, you know, $5 to make, and then
that's a lot.
Pay $180.
I can see that markup. I can understand that. That makes sense.
I don't know. I haven't had problems with just using my 6-axis controller, even wireless, at all.
I've had moments where it kind of cuts out, but that's when I use my old controller that came with the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I plug it into the actual, like, cord, it doesn't have any problems. But when I use the DualShock 3, I haven't had any problems with that wireless. Like,
I thought of something I don't like about the game.
Okay.
Zangief. Cheap. Hate him.
Yeah.
CPU playing him? Impossible.
There's kind of a lot of characters that do stuff like that. I mean,
Blanca.
See, Viper has this one where she like does an electric shock to the ground, and almost the whole screen, you'll get hit. Like three quarters.
It's
a distance.
It's a distant thing. So like her light punch down will be right around her, and then medium, and then long.
So well, she always did a long one.
Well, the CPU is always going to do the
right one. The thing that Mike Keyes and you and I talked about is the computer doesn't mess up. Like, the computer is not like, oops, I did the long one instead of the short one. It's like, you know, if it does something wrong, it's because you moved out of the way. So that's a little frustrating when you fight grappler characters who you can't block, like Zangief, like Abel, like... who else is there? Maybe you. Yeah.
It's like those characters, you can't compensate for the error that a player would do, because those throws are hard to do. Because you have to do like a full circle and then press a button.
Yeah.
But the computer can just do them instantaneously.
Right. So that's a little frustrating when you're doing arcade mode.
Yeah. And it's like you have to try and keep them at range. And like, I don't know what you would do if you were another grappling character. It's like you almost have to fight them with a person that can keep range on them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of tough. But
I think it's the same way with any fighter. They all have they have a ton of modes you can play on, so you can build your skill and get used to the game. But I think even for Street Fighters, easiest is pretty difficult. So the learning curve can be kind of steep at times.
Yeah.
Do you guys think you've played enough to get like a real sense of the game balance? Have you found any characters that like have a couple moves that you can abuse or anything like that?
Not so much, basically, because every character has like there's like the Kenryu archetype, which several of the characters have. So you've got like the Hadouken, Shoryuken, spin kick thing. You've got those characters that all have that sort of move set, and then you've got sort of the more complex characters that are like the Confusion, like the Vega and El Fuerte, and then you've got sort of the grapplers like Abel and Zangief, and then you've got like the charge characters like Balrog, Guile, and again, Vega kind of has that charge aspect to him too. So I think everybody has sort of like a give and take to each of their roles, and I think what it comes down to is which character are you more comfortable with playing and which style are you more comfortable with playing, not is one overpowered versus the other.
I think there's
something. Yeah, and I think... Oh, go on.
Go ahead, Jamie. No.
I was just going to say that I think another thing that balances the game out is the fact that you have the Super Meter and the Revenge Meter, so you don't just get... You're not... like penalized for doing damage, you build up a meter for taking damage and a meter for giving damage. That's so you don't get a situation like, I don't know, like in a, I guess Mario Kart situation where no one can blue shell you if they're behind because you're rewarded for both taking damage and giving it.
Yeah, it definitely balances the game out and, you know, prevents blowouts. There is one character I think, and I my friend Chuck showed this to me, that you can exploit, and that's Blanka.
Oh yeah.
With his, he has that electric charge move, which you just do by tapping a button.
Yeah.
And when he's charged, you can't touch him, or at least I've not found a way to damage him when he's doing that. So it makes you end up playing really defensive, because anytime you can go on, try to go on the offense, they can do that move. And if you're jumping in on him, if you're doing anything, if you touch them, you get shocked and it cancels whatever you're doing. So it makes you end up playing defensive, but you can't play defensive against it, because then they can go on the offensive and you, I mean, you're not going to be able to counter them, because anytime they get close to you, they'll just do the shock thing.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, it was actually very frustrating fighting him, because he's cheap and he locks me down doing that. So I couldn't do anything against him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be a character you might see exploited.
Yeah.
Do you think that's like a balance problem? No, there's characters that can counter that.
Like if you take like Sagat and his low tiger, whatever thing, you could just throw fireballs into him. Just,
but I was even playing as like Sea Viper, and she has that low punch charge, and even that, like when I hit him when he was doing the electric thing, damaged me.
Huh.
So it's like it hit me. So I don't know.
Weird.
The only thing you can counter with it is someone that can throw something at him.
Or it does turn off for a brief period. Yeah. Like it does stop for
a
second.
Yeah, it's not continuous. It's timing.
Nearly continuous though. If you hit at a certain point, you can like it doesn't make them invulnerable. You can still hit them, but it's difficult.
Yeah, maybe not an exploit, but definitely I would say if there's a cheap character to use, it might be Blanka, in a sense, because of that.
I can't use him.
Yeah, I can't. I've never actually tried.
I tried using him because I saw that cheap, what I thought would be a cheap electric attack when I was getting schooled with the Ryu versus Ken fights, and it didn't work out for me, so.
Maybe it was just Chuck being awesome.
Yeah.
That could be. Is that, everybody's good on Street Fighter? Everybody want to go around?
I got something to say.
Oh, all right.
Something I didn't like about the game, though, I played as Chun-Li through it quite a bit. And when I did her revenge, hey, don't do that. sorry. I used the revenge or the special move, and I could do it, you know, on command easily. But a thing the game did is like, okay, let's say I do a special move and I connected on somebody who's like jumping forward. And so I hit the person in midair, I hit them with my like special move or whatever. But the thing is, they get knocked back. And then I just continue with my special move because I can't do it. You know, it's just something that just happens. So, but the problem with that is your opponent gets knocked back. And my entire special move doesn't connect. Like, it just goes forward and I miss.
Yeah, it goes through the animation and everything.
But other times, like, I did that and it connected and my opponent didn't fly back. They just got stopped right there and I just kept going through them and, like, I was able to do my entire attack. But other times, they just flew back and I missed my opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it decides the game just, like, randomly. It was like, oh, we're just going to knock the opponent back and you're going to miss out on your revenge meter, or sometimes not. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It's kind of hit or miss with that sometimes, but
well, I know there's a character, Dan. One of his specials, or maybe even his ultra, is a taunt. So you can empty your entire meter on just a taunt that does nothing.
That's probably for like tournaments and like pros who want to just show up somebody like a competition.
I think it's
or something.
A joke because they know the character is crap, so they just put him in there as a joke. Yeah,
pros would probably do it though.
Exactly.
Have you guys unlocked the hidden characters yet?
Couple.
Yeah, no. Is Jeff on the phone?
Yeah, he's
here. Oh, cool.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
All right.
Wait.
So does anybody else have anything they need to say about Street Fighter 4 before we end this?
Indestructible. I love the music.
Some of the people at NYU didn't like it because they thought it was too ridiculous. Like the, sometimes when people fight, one of them loses. Let's see if that happens today.
I love that in Soul Calibur. Yeah. I love that over-the-top stupid announcer voice.
That's what I think. I think the game has a pretty good
sense of humor. The
strong win
and the weak lose. Let's see if today's fighters will prove the old axiom true.
They say that every time.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Will the tide of battle turn?
I think the announcer's really funny.
Go ahead.
One time with Chun-Li, I won, and she said something. I forget what it was, but I was reading it, and it kind of broke my brain. It was like an if-then statement, and I was just staring at the screen for a really long time. And I called my friend. I called my friend Pat, who's a philosophy major, and he does a lot of logic, and I read him the statement. And we talked about it for like 5 minutes, and we came to the conclusion that it was a logical impossibility. But it literally ate up like 15 minutes of my time. I forget what it was, though.
I think nice. The character statements are hilarious. Like when I'm Abel, fighting will help me to remember. I'm like, yes it will, man. Let's keep going. I think it's really funny. It adds a lot of enjoyment to the game for me.
Yep.
And see Viper getting on her cell phone, calling up a girlfriend. It's the show.
Those American girls, yeah.
Set it? Are we good? Should we take a break, try and get Jeff set up and end on one resounding chorus of Indestructible?
Yep.
No.
Ready? Ready?
Indestructible!
And we lost all our listeners.
Good job.
I know how to click a button.
You did well.
If it was set up in like an interface or anything, you know, just,
if it was a hotkey.
If it was a hotkey, I would have been all over it.
Yeah, man, but that red button click has a long cooldown.
Only noobs click.
Phil clicks. Phil doesn't use hotkeys, I'm being completely honest.
Anyway, let's get games of the week out of the way.
Game release is coming out today, which is February 20th for our listeners, even though you'll be listening a few days in the future.
That's right.
We have Unwell Mel coming out today, which is going to be a really great game about how you save a guy that's fallen into a well. So,
yes.
And you train armies of moles to dig them out. And it's if anyone is familiar with the Final Fantasy VII Chocobo raising, it's a lot like that. Yeah. You start off with regular moles.
Ooh, no.
And you have to have mole races.
You know, it would be better if it was like Monster Rancher and you put in different discs and you get different moles depending on what like
great.
The internal serial code of your disc is.
Oh, so there's like you have several copies of like Unwell Mel, you'll get different ones?
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
No. Like you put the game in, you have it loaded, and then you go to like the mole creation screen, and what you do is you have you like take like a Nirvana Nevermind, and you put that in the PlayStation, and you get like Naked Mole,
Emo Mole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like
it. You know, you put just in like random discs.
Anyway, Mel is a. Yeah, sounds good.
Enough said about that.
I was about to probably make comments that I would have regretted, and so I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah.
Next up is a strategy game called Age of Booty, which
that's already been
it's pirates. Yeah.
No, it's just for the PC though. New release.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually a spin-off of the... I'm lying, by the way.
that already came out for 360, I think.
I don't know what it is.
It did downloadable content.
It had a funny
downloadable
name,
game.
So I circled it.
Is this for 09?
No, this is for 09.
Yeah, this is for 09.
Good. Okay.
It's okay, buddy.
No,
it's
the one
that says
I've done it
009.
Remember,
right?
Like when episodes like, and this week we've got Grand Theft Auto 4 coming. You're like, what?
Was it?
No, it's like Gears of War. Wait, what? For PC?
Okay, then I'll move on to my next one, which is East India Company, which is a historical strategy game. I'm guessing based on the East Indian Trading Company that dominated over the.
Trades
that I don't know about because I don't remember.
They were in Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
They sold the first stock ever.
Wow.
They did. Yeah.
The real blockbuster coming out in March, and everyone is excited about Women's Murder Club: A Darker Shade of Gray.
I can't wait.
Which I'm pretty sure is an adventure game, and the name pretty much says itself.
How do they spell gray?
G R E Y.
Ooh, classy.
Yeah, gray. None of this A shenanigans stuff. Yeah. But that is like, actually, it's a little less graphic than what you think. It's actually a book club.
Oh, I was
game.
Thinking it was a kart racing.
That will be a lot of fun. Lots of fun. And Pets with a Z Sports is coming out. So.
Thank always God. Have a new Pets.
As if
my pets are getting a little plump.
Clearly, our animals need to be playing baseball together. So that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah.
But anything not really important coming out soon?
Not really important. Star Ocean. No one wants that. Yeah. 50 Cent. 50 Blood Cent. In the Sand. Fallout 3 expansion, EVE Online for the Mac, Killzone 2, blah, blah, blah. No one really wants that stuff anyway. Pet Sports is where it's at.
Exactly. I don't know, man. Women's Murder Club, Baja scored 1,000, whatever.
Yeah.
Mystery Men.
Sounds great. And Hansbro Family Game Night, sorry, is coming out.
Oh, thank God.
Like the game, sorry. Big revolution in the video games to play other games. Like
play
the
board
Wii,
games,
like
yeah.
what the Wii does.
Yes.
How much is that? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. Yet?
Probably.
$70 collector's edition. Special making of feature.
2800 X or space bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, the space bucks.
I don't know. It's 360, so maybe you use your Microsoft points for it.
Oh, space bucks. Yeah.
Anyway, that's about it.
No.
Yeah.
Good Grand Theft Auto: Lost in the Damned.
That came out this week.
Out. Yeah, that's
what's
right.
that? Street Fighter. Ouch. Ow, I'm electrocuting myself.
I'm gonna take a break and we'll come back with the WoW talk.
Okay.
Griff shocked himself.
We're recording again.
That's right.
Are we like
back.
Burnt out now?
And by the way, this is the entire cast of Alt Source Games right now. We've got everybody here. Got Matt, Keys, Jeff, Axel, Jamie, and myself, and then the two podcast DHs, Phil and Mike Gartner.
How am I the DH, but Keys is a regular...
Because he writes on the blog.
Oh.
No. See? Shenanigans on you.
All right. I accept.
I'll have to put the Halo Wars thing on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You write it up.
Will you?
You know me too well, Griff. I won't do it. Don't believe you.
I don't write
I have like three things on the blog that are saved to drafts that I haven't finished yet.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Does it include Halo Wars?
Probably not.
Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
ended when I stopped playing Prince Bay.
Let's discuss our negligence later.
No.
Okay, so WoWBots.
Yay.
Talk away.
Yeah. Right, so we've been getting a lot of information about 3.1 over the past week or so. I mean, I wrote an article on Altsource about it, and the stuff that I'm hearing about Ulduar, at least like the first bit of it, I'm really not too happy with. Because apparently, and for you non-WoW bots out there, they're including a new mechanic in the first part of the dungeon that I don't think deserves to be in a raid dungeon.
I think I am actually kind of looking forward to it in a sense with the whole vehicle setup, because the whole thing with like...
Axel, did you find Wainer Grasp fun?
When it doesn't lag my server to hell,
yeah.
It's kind of fun.
That's
yeah.
the big problem with it, is so many people go that it's like you can't really function.
But that employs a lot of vehicle stuff, right?
Yeah.
It does, but the thing about Wintergrasp, it's kind of inconsequential whether or not you win. I mean, yeah, it has some benefits, but the things that you can get from the marks and the... you know, and having the zone buff are like so inconsequential at this point that it really just doesn't matter who wins. It's just kind of a fun thing to do if you're bored. But they're bringing the vehicles into like the hardest raid dungeon. And I mean, as I said in my article, I just don't think that's a good idea.
I like it in the sense that it's something that's really, I think WoW is by no means a pioneer in the use of vehicles in an MMO. But I think they're more so a pioneer in the use of MMOs as in a raid boss fight and things like that. Like, you see that in Malagos, in the third phase of Malagos. You jump on your dragons, and that's essentially acting as a vehicle, and you use that to...
What other MMOs have had vehicles before?
I know Lineage has had vehicles in destructible buildings before. I'm not sure. I know they're not the first ones to do it, because I can't remember who I was talking to.
Warhammer had siege stuff.
Yeah, so but I know other MMOs. I can't name them off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure Lineage did. But
well,
I think
EVE is all vehicles.
That's true.
But that just means your vehicle's your character then.
But I'm actually kind of excited for it. It's like, because I would be worried if it was obviously like there's, you know, majority of the bosses in Old War had vehicles implemented in them. But I think this first one, because what they're trying to do is like with the vehicles being like set, I think they're trying to make it a little more casual for people to at least get into Old War. So like, you know, the vehicles are going to be mainly your character's abilities and things like that. So your characters aren't going to have to be as geared, from my understanding of it so far, to like destroy the army to get into Old War and then to fight Voltron himself, because you're still going to be using the vehicles during the boss fight.
What if the vehicles like matched your characters, like, and then some terrible little like Mario Kart sort of caricature, if you're a priest, you have like a heel wagon. If you have like a tank, you just drive like a big spiky cube.
Interesting.
That would be ridiculously stupid,
I mean,
and fun.
I can see where you know it makes people mad in the sense
Rogue gets a motorcycle.
You don't get your chance to show off your abilities to play your class in the first fight and things like that, and you don't get that set structure of healer, tank, DPS, etc. But I think it's good for the game.
Shaman would have the Flintstones car.
I love you, Griff.
I think what the WoW community has been craving is difficult content. Like me and my guild, we were in Black Temple, we were in Mount Hyjal.
My guild and
whatever. And we're craving content, that like fulfilling content like that, and like jumping into a vehicle and playing a mini game to kill the first boss of this dungeon that we've been waiting months for is just really anticlimactic. Like, I can understand the drama of it and how cool it would be to get in a vehicle and stomp a whole army and then go fight a boss in it, but I think like after the first two times you do it, it's gonna lose its appeal pretty quickly.
I can see how it can lose its appeal, but I don't think, just because you're in a vehicle, I don't think it's going to be necessarily easy. You know what I mean? Like, there's still...
Well, that's the thing. If it's hard, it's going to be frustrating, because we don't really have experience in vehicles, save for the third phase of Malagos, which is maybe 3 minutes. I mean, it's not a mechanic that I should be taken... I don't think it should be taken seriously enough to make a hard encounter with vehicles. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it deserves to have a hard encounter, the mechanics.
But that's not saying the rest of Old War isn't going to be difficult. I mean, because that is... I mean, because the sense of it is that Old War...
Your mom joke about hard encounter.
Hard encounter, your mom last night. Anyway. Because that is like the way... I mean, if there's a vast army outside of Old War, I mean, you're going to need something... Like, in pure aspects of lore and realisticness, which, you know, WoW is dead on. Burning Crusade, anyone? No? Okay. I mean, you can't just, like, troll through, you know, 100,000 guys or whatever, you know, on foot. So it's like, the vehicles will get you in there, and you'll fight Voltron, but that's not saying, like, after that Voltron fight, it's not going to be difficult, and I think you're going to get back to your classic rating there, because they said it's going to be difficult, you know. Whether or not the first fight is, you know, that's okay, because they still have to have that aspect of easy raiding, like, because they basically set that precedence with Naxx and the raids, you know, so far, because they've not been difficult at all. So no. I don't think that they can go just from having Naxx and OS so easy to having, you know, to having Old War just completely difficult to a point where, like, people that haven't raided in the past can't do it.
Yeah, but... What I foresee here is just with how easy the current content is, I don't see Olduar being an enormous leap forward. They say it's going to be harder. Like they said, like a second year class. If
they would say it's going to be indestructible.
You should be a professional internet troll, Griff. You'd be really good at it.
Well, now that I don't have anything constructive to contribute, I can just make jokes. Like you guys.
I just don't see it being, like, until the last couple of fights, I just don't see it being that difficult. I mean, it nothing on the level of what Serpentrine Cavern was or Tempest Keep.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be shocked if it were that difficult. I really would be.
I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to say if the Voltron fight is going to be good or bad right now, because there's going to be, I think there's, is there 14 bosses total in Ulduar?
I think there's 14 or 16. Like, yeah.
So I'm not going to judge it by one boss fight right now until we hear more about it, just because there's so much more that has to be released to it. I'm going to wait till the test realm is up and people are playing it. And the thing is with that, with the test realm, they're only doing certain sections at a time. So
True.
I don't want to judge it and say that it's going to be a scrap. I think it's going to, I mean, because Blizzard does a really good job at fine-tuning everything before it comes out, for the most part. So I think they're going to know what the players want in an aspect. You know, they can't give us everything we want in the sense that the people that are hardcore raiders might be let down a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be a complete scrap, because they do have to tune it to everyone to a certain extent.
Yeah, they've definitely made raid content more accessible to the casual raider with having 10-man versions of everything. So I don't think it'll be too difficult, but they said in the little clip that I read, at least from Blizzard, that there'll be kind of like a Sarth plus three Drakes aspect where you can leave up defense turns to make it more difficult. So if you're not struggling, then you can obviously ramp up the difficulty.
I don't know. I think in terms of like raid design and raid difficulty balancing, I think like the varying difficulties is, I don't know, it seems like kind of a cop out to me. Like, they can't really balance the difficulty so that it's challenging for average players and sufficiently rewarding for good players, but they have to add a couple levels of difficulty. I think it's certainly innovative, but it seems to me like the easy way to do it. Like, instead of really, really taking, you know, a careful time to balance the encounter so that it will be both accessible and rewarding at the same time.
But I just have a quick question to interrupt you, Axel. You want innovation, but this is a game where like the whole raid experience hinges on everybody doing their specific job correctly. And what seemed to be innovation so far has been like bosses do different things and you have to adapt to them. So like, what sort of further innovation would you want besides like really just eliminating classes, which is what you do by giving them vehicles?
Well, what I really like about some dungeons in Burning Crusade was that they strain your understanding of the game's mechanics. Like, for instance, mana regeneration. Certain healers in fights in Sunwell would have to, you know, if they got a clear casting proc, they would have to sit outside, you know, let the spell go and let themselves get out the 5 second. This is getting technical, I know. Get out of the 5 second rule, regen a little bit of mana before they got back into healing, or else they would run out of mana by the end of the boss fight. Or, you know, there was a, I'm trying to think now, there's, I can't remember his name, big, anyway, there was a boss who did a cleave in Sunwell, and you had to split your group up into two separate raid groups, just so that the area damage, you know, wouldn't, because you had to know exactly how the cleave mechanic worked. You split, because how it works is he targets somebody, hits them with the cleave, and somebody near him gets hit. So you have to split the raid.
So again, this comes down to just what I was saying. It's like, it's just a little bit more complicated of a raid bot, like a boss battle. You're not actually doing anything new or unique. You're just, you know, you're just doing the same thing just on a harder difficulty.
Yes and no. I mean, so there's the standard boss fight is, it's referred to as the tank and spank, where every class just sort of sits there and does what they normally do, like they would on trash mobs. You know, they would, the tank tanks, the DPS stands there and does damage, and the healers heal, and that's it. But there are certain fights, you know, that would, for instance, there was a fight in Black Temple where healers couldn't heal at all for one of the phases, and they had to do something else. It's just stuff like that like forces you to mix it up and forces you to, and really strains your understanding of how the game works in order to really clear it. Because some of the strategies that these people would come up with wouldn't have been possible. You couldn't have thought them up unless you really understood the game's mechanics. And what we've seen so far from Wrath of the Lich King is basically we're back to preschool. I mean, we're just tanking, doing damage and healing, and there's nothing more to it, really.
Well, if you think about it, though, I mean, Nax was a recreated dungeon. Like, it was there in the past. So it's like they couldn't change that much about it for the aspect of that it's already been in the game. The original Lich King has come. It's out. I think it's there. And I think I'm really not worried about... I'm excited for 3.1. I'm not worried about the dungeons or anything like that. I think everything is going to kind of go back the way it was. Like, When they say that Old War is going to be more difficult, I expect it to be more like the BC raids and how they were. And I honestly don't think that it's going to be cleared, you know, first day or first 2 days that it's out. Like, I honestly think it's going to take a while to learn the fights. Like, that's my opinion anyway, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard to say without having seen the fights and how they're going to be balanced. But, I mean, if it's only going to be a step up from current content, then I have a feeling it's going to be pretty easy.
Well, again, it's about getting everybody being able to experience the endgame content. As Blizzard has said before, like, taking Naxx from a 40-man to a 10 and 25-man. Mm-hmm. And things like that. I've definitely seen a lot more casual players in heroics and things like that, and it pisses off the veterans of the game because they don't know what they're doing and they slow things down. But Blizzard wants to make it accessible to everybody, and I think right now getting it built up and having I keep reading the Skype.
just ignore the Skype. Just ignore it.
It totally threw me off, but. Since we've had such a limited look at what Old War is going to be, and it's really one boss that we're talking about in one instance, it's kind of hard to get a real feel for it until the PTRs come up.
Yeah, well, what really set me off, and the reason I really wrote the article, not that I have advanced knowledge of Old War because I don't, was that we're coming off of, you know, a hardcore raider such as myself, coming off of this, you know, very frustratingly easy expansion so far, kind of an unsatisfying raiding experience up to date. And the first thing we hear about is vehicles and a Voltron reference in the first, you know, pulls of the new dungeon. And it just doesn't bode well, and you know, the way I see it.
Yeah, I can see the hesitancy to want to get into something like that.
Axel, I'm curious, how long did it take your guild to down Sartharion and three Drakes? How long were you guys attempting it?
We got it on our second night. We had to sort of figure out, like, because we didn't have a Disciplined Priest in the raid and we didn't really have enough, you know, mitigation moves. So we had to ask a couple people to respect for the next raid. And you know, finally, after about half a raid's practice, we got it down on our second raid. So it was probably about 5 hours of raiding before we killed him.
Okay. I was just curious because, yeah. Anyway. I wanted to ask you too, how do you feel about the balance in PvP as far as classes go right now?
It's better than what it was when Lich King came out, I'll say that much. I mean, Death Knights can't tank three people and kill them all anymore. But there are certain classes that are still horribly underpowered, and there are still certain classes that will kill pretty much anybody without having to try very hard. The Arcane Mage comes to mind. They can just jump around spamming instant casts and kill you in about 5 seconds. So I think Blizzard has a lot of work to do in terms of PvP balance before the players really take it seriously like they did in say, Season 2 and 3 of Burning Crusade, where it was an eSport. They were doing it at Major League Games and stuff. So I think Blizzard, they're doing a lot of work. They've done a lot of rebalancing of the classes, and I think 3.1 has a couple more things that are gonna do some good. But the way it stands right now, it's not balanced enough to be called a game or even fun.
Yeah, I would agree completely as far as the PvP goes. Death Knight, Red Pally combination come to mind.
Yeah, well, Death Knight, Holy Paladin was unstoppable. 9 out of the top 10 2v2 teams in the world were Holy Paladin, Death Knight.
Yeah, and that just says something about the balance right there when you can, you know, pick up, you know, those classes and essentially have half an idea of what you're doing and, you know, destroy people.
Mm-hmm.
There definitely needs to be some way for, I think, non-plate wearers to definitely mitigate more damage or something like that.
Agreed.
Because people that wear, I mean, the only way to get through them is either through magic or bleed. So if it's a melee character, like a rogue or someone like that going against like a DK or Pally, it makes it really tough on them, or even a warrior. So there needs to be some balancing issues done ASAP.
Especially, yeah. And I play a priest, and when we capped out resilience in Burning Crusade, we were pretty darn powerful. I mean, we were useful in a lot of different combos, but right now we just feel, I mean, kind of gimp. If you're not playing with a couple other players who are really good at peeling, and what I mean by that is really good at getting other people from the other team off of you, then the priest just isn't going to live. They'll just kill him in about 5 seconds. So you have to be playing with extraordinarily good players for a priest to succeed in an arena right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know, that's...
I've talked about what I wanted to talk about for a while anyway.
Yeah, no, I think we're both looking forward to 3.1. We definitely really want to see what Old Dwyer will bring. And I'm less optimistic about it than you are.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know. I want to downstart 3 drakes this week. I don't know.
Yeah, that's... get that's max eventually.
Really fun. That's when you get that, that's like really the only fulfilling encounter in this expansion so far. That's... you really, really get a sense of accomplishment when you take that one down, because it's a challenge. It really is.
Took your mom down last night.
And the perfect end to a segment.
Right. Filler Mike, you want to...
No, I'm good. I'm good. No.
Did you not get your epic flying mount recently?
That's about all I've gotten lately.
Success, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats.
Thanks.
Can't call you full-time scrub anymore.
Oh. My gear still sucks, but whatever.
Indestructible.
Yeah, I got nothing.
What else we got?
I talked about anything? Old War, all that I
have. Am I talking about?
I contributed my questions to WoW Talk.
Okay. You're in depth. They were good questions.
Does anybody just have anything they want to say before we sign off for this week?
Wait, we're done for the week after this?
Well, yeah, because we only do it once a week.
What do you want to do?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about... never mind.
Do you want to talk about flour or something?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, let's talk about flour. No, it doesn't really matter to
me. I'll talk about flour.
Of course you would.
I think we should probably hold off on this until Mike Keys plays it.
Yeah, I want to,
because I don't want to spoil it for him.
Oh, come on, let's spoil it.
No, it's a good... it's something that shouldn't be spoiled.
Nobody cares what I do.
If I find my way into New York tonight, I'll stumble back into Jamie's apartment and play it drunk.
That could be interesting.
So I can offer my input.
No, some guy on Game Facts was like, don't play it drunk, you will freak out. Even better. And you will not be able to work the six-axis controls at all. Huh. In fact, I'll consume large amounts of cocaine as well. No, you don't understand.
That's what we do in New York.
You'll be going to the and your entire body will tilt instead of the six-axis.
I think more accurately the room will tilt. And
no, you'll just fall out my window.
How do you make the wind go?
Axel was found dead on
the
six. Oh yeah, sorry.
I think we're gonna call a podcast for this week.
Okay.
And check out altsourcegames.blogspot.com if you haven't been there already, to our wonderful listeners. And we'll see you next week.